We appreciate that. Special morning. Our brother Machana is going to come and speak with us. And it's really an interesting thing. This is the first time I've ever heard of the Gospel Chariot ministry. And I can't believe that, because it's one of the most unique and perhaps one of the most effective outreaches that's out there. I heard it for the first time this week at the Global Missions Conference being talked about, the Gospel Chariot Ministries. And I could stand up here and try to act like I know what it's all about, but I'll tell you what, we've got some really visionary brothers in the church. And people who really dream big and think, you know what, let's do whatever it takes to reach people. And that's what this ministry portrays. And so we're going to listen to our brother Machana come and preach the word to us for a bit.
Good morning. Let me take this time to thank God who has made it possible for us all to be here this morning, and also for the leadership of the church to giving me this small opportunity or short time to talk to you, and also for the preacher to allow me to grace the place that he normally stands on. So what I'm going to do today, or if there's one thing that I'm going to say, it will be thank you. Thank you for partnering with us. Thank you for being a propellant that enable us to be able to go out and do what we understand that God is asking us, or he's commanding us to do. My name is Machana. Mnyaman is my last name. So if you translate my name and my last name into English, it will mean when the sun set, that results will be my last name. When the sun says the results is my last name. So if you still don't get that, that's fine. We can talk about it afterwards. But I think that's why I'm here. I'm here just to come and say, my brothers and sisters, thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers, because we really need your prayers. And I think as I talk, my brothers, I think at the audio, just roll those slides. Just roll them, let them go. Let them go, because I have 143. And I need to get through them in less than 10 minutes. So just let them go. And I'm from the Gospel Chariot Missions, and I also work, I think I serve in the board of World Bible School, and also at the board of a school called African Christian College in a country called Eswatini in Swaziland. And I'm one of the administrators, or the people who are making sure that things are going the way that they need to go in the Gospel Chariot Missions. That truck right there, that the one that you see, it was the first one ever built in the Gospel Chariot Missions. And yours truly was the first driver evangelist who was driving that truck. I took it to 11 countries in the southern part of Africa, preaching the gospel every day for 10 months a year. I was still not married when it was happening, but the gospel was preached 10 months a year, every day. 10 months a year, every day. So that means we'll go wherever we needed to go to make sure that everyone has a chance to hear this true message of the gospel and their lives can be changed. And we have few things that are encouraging or motivating us. One is because we were also reached by somebody. So that means we are going wherever we were lost. In our sins, we were doing whatever that we needed to do. We were soldiers that were commanding themselves, and somebody listened to God. And after they listened to God, they came out, they went out, and they reached us. And because somebody reached us, we submitted also under the kingship of King Jesus. And because we submitted, he says to us, go into all the world And I think if there's one thing that he says in the scriptures, he says, all authority is given to me. That is Jesus. And now we understand one thing about the king in the continent of Africa, and then what the king looks like, and what the king behaves like. So now, in the country that is sandwiched between South Africa and Mozambique, that country is called Swaziland. Until a year and a half ago, the king of that country decided that that name was not suitable for his country. And on his 51st birthday, he decided to change the name. And he says, when he gives his speech, this country will no longer be called Swaziland from today. And it will be called Eswatini. And ask me, was there a referendum for the name change? No. Was there a consultation? No. Because he is the king, he can do whatever he wants in his country. And whoever is submitting under him just need to make sure whatever the king decided is put into play. And in Swaziland or Eswatini, the king, this is how the hierarchy is the king, is the constitution, and is the legislation. So that means the king, the constitution, and the legislature. So that means the king is the constitution. The king is the law. Whatever he says goes with no questions. And everyone in Swaziland understands that. And everyone in Eswatini tries to do whatever the king says do. When he says jump, you don't ask how high. You see, and that's what we are trying to do. We are trying to go wherever he said we should go. And then at some places, it's not easy, my brothers and sisters, to go. But we go anyway. And some of us, we will go and leave our families behind. And the country that I come from, the country without a name, is called South Africa. So that's a geographical location. That's the name of my country, at least, so that people can know where they need to go. And I live from the city of Pretoria, which is the capital city of that country, in a small town called Bronkhorstspruit, which has the largest Buddhist temple in the continent of Africa. That's where I live. I live next to Buddha. You see, but what I'm trying to say this morning, I'm saying thank you for making sure that our zeal, our desire, and our capability that the God enables us to have is able to be realized, because we have the zeal, we have the know-how, we have the potential, and you are propelling us. By your prayers, you are propelling us. By your money, you are propelling us. By every support structure that you give us. And because of that, we'll be eternally grateful. And then this is where Machona comes from. Machona comes from a city or a town called Bloemfontein, in a state called Free State. That's the only free state in South Africa, because we have free and a state. And everything else is something else. And that's where I come from. And I was born from the family of Xhosas. That is the second largest group in South Africa is the Zulus and then the Xhosas. We are cousins somehow, and then we don't get that much along often. But we learn to navigate whatever we differ from. And that's where I come from. And then in my family, I'm the first generation Christian. Everyone is a traditionalist. I'm the first generation Christian. And I was reached through World Bible School. So that means my teacher was John R. Morgan in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and George Funk, who founded the Gospel Chariot Missions, drove about 5 hours to go look for me. And then he found me, and then we started talking about the scriptures for about 2 hours. And this is what I have in my head. In my head, I had all the theories of communism and the flavors of socialism that you can think about. And I started learning those from age 10. And at age 16, I was the professor, because then I was also recruiting people to come and understand communism, because that was the only thing that was going to liberate my people from the oppression of apartheid. So now, in 1996, when George came, South Africa has just transcended for about 2 years into a new democracy. But the truth is, the only change that was there was Nelson Mandela. Everything was still the same. Nelson Mandela was the only change, the black president. He was the only thing that has changed. And now the time came for me to say, you know what, George, baptize me then. And he says, wastewater says there's two options. We have a river, that is the Orange River. It's fully infested with crocodiles, and I'm not ready to be a lunch today. But there's also a swimming pool here in town where you can be able to do it. And then I think, but it's closed now because it's the 18th of May. It's winter, has already started. No one swims because the water is cold. I mean, freezing cold. And then he says, okay, fine, let's go see if there's water. We went, and we get there. The inscription says white only. White only. And then I says, George, because of that, then you cannot baptize this black man in there. And then he says, no, 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 Machona, you forget something. This is new South Africa. You see, for the past 2 years, this South Africa is new. So now what I'm going to do, we are going to go in there, I'm going to baptize you, and then I will stand for whatever that comes. I said, the good part of this conversation is that you are white. And whoever is going to have a problem will be white also. So I know you can deal with that. So we went in and then went into the water. I felt like my legs were cut off because the water was very cold. And ever since then, because if there's one thing I wanted to do in my life was to become a lawyer so I can help my people. But I thought, you know what? Let me just go to a Bible school for a year, come back, teach my people, go pursue whatever that I needed to pursue. I was baptized on Thursday. Friday, I invited people to come for church service on Sunday. You see, because the nearest church was very far, and then the closest one was still very far. So now I thought that I'm going to have a service. I'm baptized Thursday. I'm having a service on Sunday. So I invited the people from my street, and all of them agreed to come. But here is why. Because they knew my political affiliation. They knew if there was one thing I will go to was church. Because the only time I went to church is when one of my comrades was shot dead by the system. And we're going to church to bury him. Somehow he needed to via the church. I still don't understand that. But we went. That's the only time we'll go to church, and we'll still be outside and sing until the preacher finishes saying whatever he finishes, and we'll come carry the coffin of our comrade to the resting place. I'm running because I want to finish this in time. You know, in Africa, we don't keep time, we have time. So now, everyone wanted to come and see if I'm really saying the things that I'm saying. They agreed to come. My aunt agreed also to say, no, you can use my garage. And then I borrowed chairs and then filled it up. But now here is the problem. Who's going to preach? You see? Yes, I can tell them what George said to me, but this is the first time, and I had a series of studies with John R. Morgan in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So now, there's a guy who always preaches every day morning around 3 or 4 a.m. In my city then, there were no street lights. But this guy will spit out verses like a machine gun. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to get him to come preach. I know him because I debated him every day, telling him how he was a lost African, like a tiger without spots or leopard without spots, because he has embraced this white man's religion. So now I go to him, I say, Chief, you know, I have a service on Sunday, man. Can you come and preach? Say, service, preach, you. I said, exactly. And we are starting at 10. So please come and help me out. And he says, no, 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 I'll be there because I really want to see this. You see, he comes, there's 50 people showing up on Sunday morning, and he started preaching. After that, I did the Lord's Supper reading from a tract that J.C. Chort wrote of how to do that. I'm saying those things to say I was able to change from the path that I was running into simply because you propelled somebody. And he was able to drive 5 hours and found this lost soul and pointed him to the right direction. And I'm still standing in front of you today. But let me close with the story of a young lady called Ingrid Moya. If you have heard the story, good. But if you have not, good. So now, Ingrid is a lady. She's married to Ari Moyal. Ari is a Jew. Ingrid is a former Methodist. So now, how they got together, love brought them together, and they lived together for some time. They ended up going to New Zealand, and they did a lot of fun stuff together. And as they come back and settle back in their motherland, Ingrid gets sick. And the disease that she has is called ALS. And it's so advanced that Ingrid, the only muscles Ingrid can move is her eyes and her throat, because she gets the therapy every morning so that she can be able to swallow. And she has two full-time nurses that are looking after her every day, 24/7. And she goes online, she gets well Bible school, she starts studying, and then she writes to Richard, to say, Richard Payton, at the back there, she says, you know what, I think I'm ready to follow Christ, I'm ready to be baptized. And then Richard sends me an email, and I have heard about ALS, but I don't know what it is. So I thought, if she's sick, and then we go there prepared that, you know what, if she has, she cannot move, and then I'll carry her on my back. I've done that several times, and I'll walk down into the water, and then I'll go down, baptize her, and then come up. I've done it several times. So that is not a problem. But when we get there, we realize that this situation is not as we have seen before. You see, this lady cannot do anything. She cannot do completely anything. And I talked to the husband. And the husband has also, and he says, no, me, I'm a Jew, this stuff and that. And I said, you know what, I'm not going to entertain this stuff for now. And then I need to do this part. And then I'll start working with this guy afterwards. And after that, the nurses prepares her. And then they go out, they check the water. They say, this water is too cold. She cannot go in there. She cannot go in there, yes. We go back to our car. We get out the portable baptistry. We put it up. We take the buckets. We fill that thing up. They says, come check the water. They says, no, this one is good. And then he says, okay, fine, how are we going to do these things? All of us who were there, we had to carry Ingrid into the baptistry. We had to do it, but we have several hands because of her fragile state. And then we put her in there, and then she comes out. They go prepare her, and then she comes back. You could see the radiance in her face. She cannot say it, but she started typing that today, I'm the happiest because I have done what God has required from me. And I think, Brother Richard, every single day from then, I think I had motivation and power to go on. But from that day, I think my faith was also increased. Because now it doesn't matter what happens. Every morning when I wake up, I look myself in the mirror and I say, God is good. And it doesn't matter what is happening in my life at that time. I say, God is good, and I go out, because if Ingrid could see it, so that means there's a lot of people that can see it out there. And because of that, I also started going into schools. And then that's what we encourage everyone in the charity team, to go into schools. You know what, parents? Because the souls of our children are at the altar. You see, the souls of our children are at the altar, and if we don't do anything about it, somebody is doing something about. And because of that, we go, and I go at the schools, you know why? Because I received, or I became politically aware and affiliated to communism at the age 10. 10 years of age. At the age 16, I was comfortable of Communist Manifesto. I could say that and preach it in every platform that I got. You see, and I know that our kids are also learning stuff. And I think it's up to us as Christians to make sure that we find ways of going in there. As I conclude, I said I'm closing, now I'm concluding. The Gospel Chariot Missions, we are currently, because of your help, because of your support, because of your prayer, we moved from one chariot to 15 chariots. We have 15 chariots today, big ones and small ones. And what a chariot is truly is a church on wheels. That's all it is. We have baptistry in there. We have a tent in there. I think you have seen the pictures as they go on. And then we move from one country to the other country. And we are operating in 21 countries of the continent of Africa today. We average about 3,000 souls being baptized and coming into the Lord every year in 21 countries. And we work with churches. You ask me, yes, you baptize so many, what and how do you check them? We don't. We don't check how they are doing and what is happening in their lives. We don't. We come in there because when we come to the area, we come to the area with the Church of Christ closest to that area. And when we, whatever we do, they are going to be taking care of that church as part of what they do. They are going to mature them and teach them everything that they need to do. So that means we sit down, create a problem for the church in the area, and we leave. You see, that's all we do. If they were not doing anything, we come into the area, we expose them, and everyone knows about them, and we leave. You see, that's all we do. And we are able to do that because of you. Because of your prayers and because of your money and because of that Mission Sunday that is coming. You see, because we know that we have something that is coming to us from that Mission Sunday. And finally, there's a new chariot that is just being finished for Liberia. We had a small one in Liberia, but we have a bigger one in Liberia now, which will be rolling out very soon. And now this is what is going to happen. It's not going, because if it's bigger, it doesn't end up in the country. It goes to the nearest countries. So now this one will move from Liberia into Sierra Leone, into Guinea-Conakry, Guinea-Bissau, Gambia, Senegal. So that means that's where it will be going. So it will be going to 5 more countries. So that means by the end of next year, we would have gone into about 26 countries. And we are also thinking of that corridor in the middle of the continent of Africa, Central Africa. We are looking at that in French-speaking Africa, and we are thinking of something on that line. So now, Lord willing, by 2025, we would be in all the countries that we are able to go into in the continent of Africa. And we are going to do that because you are our partners. And the only stretch will be the red stretch and the Horn of Africa, because that is Muslim countries. And it doesn't mean we are not going to go. We are going to go into the Muslim countries. But we are going to go there as secret agents. We are going to go. Our brothers are going to go there with their careers of medicine as medical doctors. They are going to treat the wounds and treat the soul. They are going to go there as IT specialists, because the chariots will never go in there. As George said yesterday, they will blow it up. You see? But the people will go in and they will make sure that they reach one, each one reaching one, each one teach one, is a powerful principle. I'm saying all these things to say, my brothers and sisters, thank you. And anytime you sit down and you think of cutting us from your support, please don't. You see, anytime that thought comes from the elders and the missions committee of cutting us, think of adding whatever that you are bringing to us, so that we can go out there and do what God is expecting from us. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Continue to pray for us. God bless you.